The national spotlight once again descended on our state politics Tuesday. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We held the country's first major election with in-person voting since the coronavirus pandemic. We don't know the election results until Monday, but there remains a lot to talk about. More than a million people requested absentee ballots before the election. Some voters at the polls sought absentee ballots but never got them. So were you able to vote in yesterday's election? Did you cast an absentee? Did you go to the polls? Did you stay home? How do you feel? How do you feel about the state holding the election despite the pandemic? Join in at any point, 800-642-1234. Sean Johnson is Capital Bureau Chief for Wisconsin Public Radio, and he's co-host of the weekly WPR Politics podcast. Sean, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And Mary Spacuzza is here, investigative reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Mary, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, Mary, yesterday, Milwaukee, the state's largest city, had 5 voting sites open. You compare that normally to 180, and then compare it to Madison, which had 66 polling sites open. What was Election Day like in Milwaukee?
Long lines, especially Riverside High School on Milwaukee's east side was the busiest polling location. They had wait times at the 5 centers for as long as 2.5 hours. And I stopped at Riverside several times and never saw a line that was less than, out the school, through the nearby park, down a couple of streets, and almost to the Urban Ecology Center, if you know where that is. So it was long. And Washington High, there were people, some of those folks I talked to were waiting for 1.5 to 2 hours as well.
How far apart were people standing in line?
There were a lot of people who were trying to space away from each other. You know, obviously, if like husbands and wives were standing in the rain together and under an umbrella, because there was quite a downpour at one point while I was there. I think people were trying to space themselves out. However, you know, some people had kids with them and they maybe didn't quite understand how 6 feet. But I think people were doing their best, but it is hard when there's just that many people.
Yeah. I imagine they had a lot of time to think and ponder in those 1.5, 2.5 hour lines. What were they saying?
Well, people had some pretty strong opinions. I don't know if you saw the photo from our intern where there was a woman in a face mask with a sign saying, "This is ridiculous." But we heard that a lot. There were some voters that I spoke to, especially at Washington High, some African-American voters in their 50s and 60s who were very outspoken. They said that they had never missed voting an election, that they were devoted voters, but that they felt like, they honestly felt like Republican leaders were trying to suppress the vote and trying to keep them from voting. They said it made them more motivated than ever to get to the polls. You know, I didn't get a chance to talk to people who weren't at the polls, though, so we'll have to wait and see what this means for turnout.
So, Sean, what did you see at polling places outside of Milwaukee yesterday? How were things running?
It could not have been a different situation in Madison, I don't think. I went to a few polling places here, and they were all really quiet. I mean, people were coming in. It was kind of steady. A few people would come in at a time. Some of them at one polling place that I saw were voting curbside with the assistance of poll workers. I did go to, one polling place at Madison East High School, which has a very big gymnasium, and all the voting booths were really spread out over this enormous building, and it was mostly empty at the time. There were no lines outside. People would come up, they'd vote, they'd get processed, but just a completely different world from what you saw in Milwaukee yesterday.
Sean, do we have any knowledge or indication why Madison had 66 polling sites and Milwaukee had 5?
I think that will be the question that we all try to dig into, this week. I mean, we know ahead of time, those are the numbers that election leaders there said they could safely operate. That it was a conscious decision for Milwaukee to go down to 5 polling places from 180 because they said they lacked their usual kind of army of poll workers. People didn't want to go out and work the polls because they've heard their government warnings from the federal government, state government to avoid large crowds. And so their workforce for Election Day was smaller. Madison did manage to open 66 polling places. You know, I talked to a couple people yesterday. One, you know, his day job's a librarian. Libraries are closed, and so he got kind of redirected to the polls. Another poll worker he's a bartender. He's laid off, though, so the city of Madison sent out an email to all licensed bartenders and asked them, hey, would you work the polls? He did. Those are just anecdotal stories about, you know, a few poll workers at one ward, but it's really a tale of two cities yesterday.
We're discussing yesterday's election with WPR's Sean Johnson. We also have Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Mary Spicuzza with your thoughts, your questions along this hour. Did you vote absentee or were you at the polls? How long were the lines in your community? Were you in Green Bay? What was it like? Were you unable to vote? Share your experience at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Mary, what do we know about turnout, especially in Milwaukee, but do we have any turnout numbers around the state?
I have not seen statewide turnout numbers. Milwaukee, you know, nobody's posting election results. Milwaukee did post how many in-person voters actually turned out. It was slightly smaller than they had projected. It was, they said it was 18,803 people who voted in person at the 5 various voting centers total. They've also gotten about 56,500 absentee ballots back so far. Obviously, that second number is going to grow because they had to be postmarked tomorrow, but they will still be receiving those.
Postmarked yesterday.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No. It's hard to remember what day we're living in.
Sorry. Those had to be postmarked yesterday, so that number is still growing. But we don't really have I have not seen comprehensive, you know, numbers of how many ballots have been cast so far statewide. I don't know if Sean has.
Sean, do you have any insights there?
I don't for the in-person voting, no. I mean, we have these updates that the Wisconsin Elections Commission gives out every day in terms of absentee ballots that were sent and returned. So, I mean, we know as of yesterday, there were about 1.28 absentee ballots requested, and then most of those
1.28 million.
Million, excuse
uh-huh.
me.
Yes, no, that's
1.28
okay.
million absentee ballots requested. A smaller number of those, about 1.27, returned. So you're looking at about 10,000 for whatever reason were requested but not sent, according to these stats. And then you have a smaller number right now, about 865,000 ballots that have been returned. That number is going to grow. We don't know how much. They can be counted as long as they were postmarked by yesterday and received up until Monday at 4 p.m. But those are the numbers that we have right now because under a federal court order, as the way the state continues to interpret it, you can't report those results until Monday at 4 p.m.
We have a pair of journalists with us covering Wisconsin's spring election and its fallout. Sean Johnson is here, WPR State Capitol Bureau Chief. Mary Spicuzza, an investigative reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And you, are there lessons or takeaways that can inform how the rest of the country carries out elections in a pandemic? What did you learn from yesterday's spring election? We're at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a minute with Mary Spicuzza and Sean Johnson right here on the Ideas Network. Voters turned out at polling places across the state yesterday to cast ballots in the presidential primary election. In some cases, they were met by volunteer poll workers or National Guard soldiers wearing masks, gloves, and protective gowns. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're looking at the day after, talking about the election all hour with a pair of journalists. One of yesterday's poll workers included Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who helped block what the Governor Evers had asked to do in postponing the election. So how are you feeling the day after? Did you vote? How did you cast your ballot? If you went to a polling site, what was it like? Be part of this, 800-642-1234. We have Milwaukee Journal Sentinel investigative reporter Mary Spacuzza with us and WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson. They're our guides. Let's take a call now. Jerry is with us from Glendale with thoughts on this. Jerry, hi.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having this program. My wife and I are both in our early 70s. We pride ourselves on voting in every election. This time, for the first time, we requested absentee ballots and sent them back in. Disappointed is too polite a word to use for our reaction to the Republican leadership, as well as the Republican assemblymen and senators in the state of Wisconsin, as well as the conservative majorities in both the Wisconsin Supreme Court and the U.S. Supreme Court. From our perspective, this is an act of pure and simple voter suppression. One of the basic rights of citizens is to cast a ballot in elections, and we both consider that this action that was taken recently by the Republican leadership basically disenfranchises tens of thousands of people in the state of Wisconsin, and not just people that would vote liberal or Democrat. It disenfranchises anybody from any particular persuasion. If you saw photographs online of Assembly Speaker Robin Voss working at a poll in his area, you would see him dressed in a full plastic gown with a mask. And the ludicrous comment was that this coming to vote is as safe as going to the grocery store. Well, I've never seen anybody dress like he did at the poll going to the grocery store. The other point that I want to make is everybody has been encouraged to wear a mask when they're in public and in close proximity to other people. Voter ID requires people to present some kind of identification. And what I'm hearing is at polling places, people had to pull down their mask in order to reveal a full image of their face.
Jerry, I want to stop you there. Thank you so much for bringing that to the table. Sean Johnson, first of all, I want to address, can you help us understand the litigations? Because, Republicans successfully appealed cases to both the Wisconsin and U.S. Supreme Courts here.
Yeah, so the one is pretty straightforward, and that was that on Monday, Governor Evers issued an executive order that tried to block the election or delay it until June. And this is something that he had said previously he didn't have the power to do. He had tried to get the Republican legislature to pass a bill that would delay the election. They did not do that. So he issued an order. The state Supreme Court, stepped in a little over 4 hours later after Republican lawmakers appealed that order. And the state Supreme Court said on a 4-2 ruling that Evers had overstepped his authority. The other case that Jerry was referencing, or you're asking about, is appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court. That dealt with a federal court order that would have let people cast absentee ballots up until Monday the 13th. So not only would they have been counted under federal Judge William Conley's order, they could have been cast up until Monday the 13th. Republicans appealed that ruling. It made it to the U.S. Supreme Court, and under a conservative-liberal split, the court said, no, you can't cast votes up until the 13th. They have to be postmarked by the 7th. Just real quick, I want to, the thing that Jerry mentioned there, that anger, I will say, you know, my view of yesterday's election is based on who I talk to. And I'm in Madison, one of the most Democratic cities in the state. But I can tell you the voters there were pretty – I definitely heard that anger out there from the voters that I spoke to.
Yeah.
Things are pretty raw right now on that front.
Mary, Jerry had mentioned that voters were told to pull down their mask to identify themselves with their voter ID. Did you see any of that, or what precautions were being taken out there?
So I did not hear that from anybody I interviewed.
Okay.
However, I will say I did not go inside the polling locations. I was interviewing people who were waiting in line outside and trying to stand 6 feet away from them whenever possible. And I was wearing a mask, and many of them were wearing masks. So we will certainly look into whether that was occurring. But because I was interviewing people who were, you know, kind of waiting to vote,
they hadn't gone through the action yet.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're not gotten that far yet.
Right.
So we'll certainly look into that.
Well, let's take another call now. Bill is joining us from Spooner this morning. Hi, Bill.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Say, I don't really see this as being too big of an issue as far as there's no voter. I don't see the voter suppression. Me and my wife got our absentee ballots sent in and resent back out, you know, a week or two ago, you know, in plenty of time for all this, because we knew something was coming down. It's a failure on the legislature. It's a failure on Tony Evers himself for not responding to this pandemic and this issue a lot sooner. Everybody had plenty of time to get their absentee ballots requested and back in. It's kind of on everybody who's complaining about the, you know, the absentee ballots and the voting. It's kind of on them for not getting the doing their due diligence and keeping themselves safe and requesting that absentee ballot sooner.
Bill, thank you. Yeah, thank you for the call. And Bill saying, you know, advanced planning could have really reduced risk here. Sean, did you hear that type of sentiment out there, that if you had just followed through earlier, if the legislature had acted earlier, if a lot of things had been done earlier, this wouldn't have happened?
You know, I know that sentiment's out there. I didn't hear yesterday because I was talking to people who either decided to vote absentee because they like going to the polls, or they didn't feel safe at voting absentee because they saw all the back and forth going with the courts, or they just didn't trust that if they voted absentee, that it was actually going to get counted. And I want to just like touch on that last point there because, you know, like Bill, I can tell you, I requested an absentee ballot a few weeks ago, and it worked okay, it worked the way it's supposed to work for me. But I hear anecdotal reports all over the state from people who said they did request absentee ballots weeks ago, and they didn't get it sent to them. I mean, I have a colleague who's in that situation. So I know that story is out there, too. And so, you know, it may be a case where if that was widespread, I wouldn't be surprised to see that pop up in litigation, for example, if somebody decides to challenge what happened yesterday at the polls.
Mary, do you see further litigation here by what we just took place at the polls and people not getting their absentee ballots in time?
You know, that's very possible. This election has already had litigation before, so I would not be surprised if it's after. I will say, I personally heard from dozens of people who were emailing, tweeting, calling me. I know my colleagues heard from people. We had a story about it yesterday, and we have some follow-ups, but essentially there were a lot of people who said they went online, they saw the way this was going, they requested absentee ballots, and they didn't come. And some of them said they requested backup absentee ballots, and those didn't come. We had problems in Fox Point in the city of Milwaukee. There seemed to be a problem, especially we keep hearing the dates like March 22nd or March 24th, but there were some people who said they requested them far earlier than that and still didn't get them. So we were trying to figure out if there was just an overload on the MyVote.com website, if the municipal clerks got, you know, if someone locally got overwhelmed, if just the meal service couldn't handle it, but we'll certainly have follow-up stories. But I wouldn't be surprised if someone sues. We also know that there were, like, as the polls opened Tuesday morning, there were already 750 absentee ballots in the city of Milwaukee that were not going to be counted because they didn't have a witness signature.
A witness signature, right.
Right.
Yeah. And that witness signature, very important, because otherwise the vote will not be counted.
Right. But briefly, it would have been counted. Sean might want to speak to that because of the court case. But there was a brief period of time where a federal judge had waived that witness signature requirement, and then it was put back into place by another judge. And so there very well could be people suing over, you know, I followed the rules at the time and didn't get a witness signature, and now my vote won't count.
Mary Spicuzza, investigative reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, is with us. Sean Johnson as well, WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief. They stay with us as we take the hour to look at yesterday's statewide election. What happened? How well was the election run in your community? Did you see long lines? Were you in them? We're at 800-642-1234. Bring your perspective. We'll continue the analysis with Sean Johnson and Mary Spicuzza right after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We are recapping Tuesday's election and this nationwide political spotlight cast on Wisconsin. Did you vote in Milwaukee amid the long lines? How did it go? Did it feel safe and manageable? Poll workers, what was your experience like? Sean Johnson is WPR State Capitol Bureau Chief. We have Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's investigative reporter Mary Spicuzza. They're spending the hour with us as we look back at the takeaways from yesterday. Bringing in another caller now, Chris is joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Chris. What was your experience like?
Well, I asked for a ballot, a mail-in ballot, and a couple of days later, I got in the mail a form letter from the mayor saying, thank you for requesting your mail-in ballot. The next day, my daughter-in-law, we're in the same house, gets a letter from the mayor thanking her for requesting a mail-in ballot. She got hers. I, who put mine in a day earlier, I did not get mine, and I had to stand in one of those lines. Fortunately for me, it was only about an hour because my ballot did not come. So you're looking for anecdotal. That's my anecdotal story.
Chris, thank you for sharing that. Sean, you know, different family members getting their absentee ballots at different times, not on the same day.
Yeah, I mean, it's just another example where the system, you know, if you want to just speak very broadly, the system did not work for a number of people yesterday. And I don't know what happened in those situations. You know, I know that PBS Wisconsin reported a story that kind of along these lines yesterday, where there was a clerk there who had like a thousand absentee ballots that he had processed, returned to him by the mail. I don't know what's going on there and what the issues are that led a number of people to be kind of treated differently when it comes to requesting and receiving absentee ballots.
There's a lot to figure out in the days after and days to come. Sandra is with us now from Mount Pleasant. Hi, Sandra.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I have two young relatives under 40 who tried to apply for absentee ballots. These are people who work on their computers for a living. They're very savvy about this. They had to resubmit about 10 times before it would go through because the website was so overloaded. And then you had to attach a picture of your photo ID. Imagine how many people have no idea of how to do that or wouldn't have the capability to do that. They did not get absentee ballots in the end.
Sandra, thank you for bringing that to the table. Mary Spicuzza, you know, at requesting absentee ballots, when I requested mine, doing it on a smartphone and clicking that add file and being able to take a picture on your phone, you know, that was something that was easier if you have the technology. And if you don't have the technology, could you be at a disadvantage there?
Yeah, that was something that Mayor Barrett and other local officials brought up as part of why they were pushing to delay the election and supported Governor Evers' move to do so. They were really worried that, you know, especially just they wanted everyone to get a ballot mailed to them because they were worried that either older folks who might not be as technology savvy or worker or residents who don't have you know, a computer at home and the libraries are closed and they don't have that access. They were saying that essentially it creates unequal access to the polls and that that's itself unfair.
Sean, we had heard reports about confusion over people taking selfies. Was there anything to that?
Yeah, you know, I was actually just trying to look for that while we're talking here. I know that the Madison city clerk said, they were unable to process. This was on April 1st. They sent out a notice. They were unable to process over 1,100 absentee requests because they don't have the voter's ID on file. About half are senior citizens who sent us selfies. So that was, you know, about a week ago, which is a long time right now, it feels like. But there's a kind of a concrete example of people who the technology was just a little bit beyond them for sending in pictures of their photo ID to get a ballot that way.
Mary from Osseo called to say she tried to vote absentee as well, but she couldn't because she couldn't figure out how to upload a photo ID. Mary is 77, so we have that comment coming in. Let's bring in Douglas now in Maiden Rock. Douglas, hi. What was your experience like?
Well, I think it was a very good turnout for our village. I worked as an election official there. It went really smooth. We had no problems. Everything went fine, and I'm glad that we did it on the day that we did because we don't know what's going to happen in the future as far as this pandemic. And it could be worse. And I think that everybody that worked these elections in the villages, towns, and even in the city officials, I think they're all happy that it's over. Most of them are happy that it's over because there's a lot of work that goes into these things that a lot of people don't realize. And as an election official, I know about all the things that have to take place to set these up. And a lot of the responsibility falls upon the people that are voting. They have to get their absentee ballots early, get them in there as soon as they can, and then wait for the results. And I think it was a very, very good idea that we went ahead with the election. Thank you.
Douglas, if you're still there, did you have the resources as an election official? Did you have the people power? Did you have the protective equipment that you needed to carry this out safely?
We all had masks. We had spray units to keep things sterile, and everything went smoothly. We had no hitches.
Douglas, thank you for bringing that perspective. Sean, Douglas is saying that in his village, things went off without a hitch.
Yeah, and it really is a localized issue. I mean, it's amazing that in Wisconsin, there is such a decentralized system for elections. You know, we think about the state overseeing things like this, and they do, but really they're overseeing hundreds of local clerks who are overseeing, you know, a huge workforce of volunteers, and that's how we do elections. So it's, you know, every election you're going to have a different experience depending on where you are. I think that was especially pronounced yesterday with Milwaukee, Green Bay, and kind of everybody else.
Mary, what effect did this whole back and forth have, you know, on clerks and poll workers as they tried to prepare for an election that was hours away?
Every clerk I talked to who was dealing with the back and forth just all said they were going to try to proceed as if the election was occurring, which obviously in hindsight was the right way to go because the election did happen. But I think that it did. I think that some voters were just overall frustrated, confused. A lot of them just said they didn't understand why, considering the pandemic, why this wasn't being postponed to protect people's safety. I did actually get a call yesterday afternoon from a woman. I could hear her kids in the background. I'm sure she's a busy mother. And she asked me, are we going to the polls today or not? My polling address, my polling place has changed. I don't know where my new one is. I was able to go on myvote.com and look up and tell her where to go, because I just happened to have it open and to look up based on her address. But I do think there might be people who are just kind of didn't know what to do or what to think at the end of all of this. But I do think the clerks were trying as best as they could to prepare for this.
Let's bring in another call. Richard is with us from Evansville. Hi, Richard.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that, Representative Voss showing up at the polls yesterday in full year and telling people that they were perfectly safe to come out and vote was an embarrassment, especially after they had been given the opportunity to do something about the elections, either postponing it, extending the absentee balloting, something. They were given an opportunity. They gaveled in and gaveled out without even debating any action. And then showing up like that and saying it was perfectly safe for the rest of the people to come out and vote was an embarrassment, not only to himself, but to the Wisconsin legislature, the GOP, and the state of Wisconsin. And I think he should resign immediately after that.
Richard, thank you for the call. Sean, do we know of any other lawmakers who did volunteer at the polls? I know we talked to here in our program Representative Nygren, who had asked to volunteer, and they didn't need him. Were there other lawmakers?
You know, I got to confess that I don't know of other lawmakers doing it. There may well be, and Mary's welcome to chime in if she knows of some. Representative Voss is a very prominent example because he has become sort of he's the Republican counterweight to Tony Evers in Wisconsin state government. And so he's been the one out there saying that we should move ahead with this election. Excuse me. A few weeks ago, he was on the same page as Tony Evers, but that changed. And so Evers wanted to stop it. Voss wanted to keep going with it. And there is that kind of that picture, that video of him yesterday working the polls wearing a lot of protective gear. People were kind of keyed in to what Representative Voss was doing in all this. And he made a point of telling people that he was going to work the polls. There are 132 state lawmakers. Very good chance that others did the same thing. I just don't know of them.
We're discussing yesterday's election with WPR's Sean Johnson and Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Mary Spicuzza. Still time for your thoughts, your questions, your takeaways. Did you vote absentee or at the polls? How long were the lines in your community? Were you unable to vote? Be part of this. 800-642-1234. We'll return in just a minute with journalists Mary Spicuzza and Sean Johnson right here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're spending the hour on the spring election and takeaways from the scenes yesterday at polling sites around the state. One image is those lines in Milwaukee. The city had 5 polling sites, down from 180. The line stretched for blocks as workers maintained social distancing between voters. Were you one of the people in line? How long did you wait to vote? What was it like for you to keep a distance from fellow voters? Still time, 800-642-1234. We have WPR's own Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Mary Spicuzza here as well. Let's take another call now. Jim is with us from Milwaukee. Hi, Jim. What was your experience?
Oh, it was an interesting one. See, my wife starts at 7:30 in the morning, so we wanted to vote before she started work. We didn't get there at 7:30, let me tell you, for her work. But we got it to the polls at 6 a.m.
1 hour before they opened.
That's right. And we were they didn't disturb us in any way. We told them what we were voters. We had masks on. We had plastic dollar store gloves. You know, and we just stood by and watched. You know, you saw, well, it seemed to be about the first 10-15 minutes to organize chaos. There were a couple of people that there was a fire guy from the fire department, and he went to and he checked on cleaning and everything, you know.
Jim, were you first in line?
Well, it's between me and my wife, so.
well, I'm not going to get between that.
I always tell her that she's number two, but she was number one.
Mary, you know, people were, as Jim said, he was lining up an hour before polls opened.
Yeah, I believe my husband, who's a reporter, I believe he spoke to a woman at Riverside High who had gotten there at 5:30. Unless you were there first, but I think she might have been first in line, but she was also very determined to get there early and vote. So we saw lines from before the polls closed to after. Riverside High still had a line, dozens of people.
Yeah, Sean, we're hearing reports out of Green Bay that there were people in line very late at night.
Yeah, if you were in line by 8 o'clock p.m., you had the right to vote, you know, just because you hadn't voted yet when the polls close. Under the law, if you're in line, you get to vote. And so a lot of people just did just that. And, you know, despite the very long lines in Green Bay and Milwaukee, they stuck it out and they voted. So a lot of very dedicated people out there yesterday voting and working the polls amid all this.
Let's bring in Richard now in Colfax with thoughts on this. Richard, hi.
Hi. My comment's a little different. I voted absentee early, but I thought that the governor waited too long to make his decision, and the Republicans' reason why it should be held was ridiculous because they said that the election had to be held because there were so many small offices that would be left open, like city councils, village boards, and school boards. But about 5 years ago, when a seat on the U.S. Supreme Court was open and President Obama made a nomination, they left that seat open for around a year until President Trump was elected and he could make the assignment. So the ridiculous part of it is that these school boards and village boards offices were going to be left open when they left open the biggest job opening in the country for over a year.
Richard, thanks for those thoughts. Sean, why couldn't the legislature just extend the terms for these smaller local offices?
I mean, they would have had to pass a law to do that. There was a bill before them that would do that. Now, ultimately, it was a choice that they decided not to make. They said that they wanted to have continuity of government, that, you know, generations of Americans had held elections during tumultuous times, like the Civil War, the 1918 flu. That was their case, is that this country has forged ahead during difficult times before, and will forge ahead now. Now, the question of could they have delayed the election, could they have extended current office holders for an additional few months while that election is delayed? Yes, they could have.
Let's bring in Chris now in Madison. Chris, hi.
Good morning. Yesterday, I felt like I was making history. Unfortunately, though, the history was more like Alabama and Mississippi in the middle 1960s. I think this is perhaps the most egregious example of voter suppression that we've seen. And the whole idea that, gee, why didn't you just ask for absentee ballot 2 years ago obviates a whole idea of what an election is.
Chris,
and it's kind of Maria Antoinette.
Chris, thank you for calling in. You know, Mary, Monday night, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg said she feared the court's order would lead to massive disenfranchisement. Did you hear sentiment from voters and political leaders yesterday like this?
Yes, definitely. From the voters standing in line, and some of them, there was actually a downpour with lightning and thunder crashing around us, and I didn't see a single person get out of line, honestly. Some had umbrellas, but many didn't. And there were people who said, like, one woman said, well, I'm wet already, so I might as well stay. And a lot of people said, like, they're not going to stop me from voting, and that's what they want, and I'm not going to give it to them. And that was a common sentiment that I heard, especially out at Washington High. And they were saying, like, they're having us vote in a hotspot for coronavirus. Why are we doing this? But I'm not going to essentially let them win by going home.
Let's bring in Scott now in Green Bay with thoughts on this. Scott, hi.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I thought that it was kind of ridiculous, the whole thing. And I think we have a lot of time to fix this for November. There's a few quick things I think we should do. Like vote for mail, for one, like a couple other states do. We could have a quorum of voters, like minimum of 50% eligible voters vote, because you have like a hypothetical 20,000 voters and like only 10 people vote, and then like, oh, vote democracy worked. But that would be like a sham. Also, I think we should have a legally binding none of the above on ballot. If none of the above wins, then the candidates get like thrown out, and like a month later you have another election with totally new candidates. That's my thoughts. Thanks.
Scott, yeah, thank you for calling in. Sean, you know, Scott's first point there is mail-in voting for November. What are the thoughts being passed around as we pay, you know, close attention to a big election in November?
Yeah, well, if you look at this election as kind of a dry run for the arguments that we're going to be having leading up to November, you know, you could expect inaction if this is the rule of the day, because you have divided government in Wisconsin. You have a Democratic governor who says we should, in this case, he said we should have moved to a mail-in election. It did take him a while to get there, but he got there. You had Republican lawmakers who say no, they don't trust that system. And you heard President Trump yesterday kind of weigh in on this about whether anybody should be asked to go out to vote in, you know, the age of a coronavirus pandemic. You know, he is telling people, his administration is telling people on a daily basis to stay home. So should they go vote? He said they should not move to a mail-in election, that he doesn't trust it. And of course, he guides the Republican Party on this.
Mary, very quickly here. Yeah. You know, what are you watching for between now and Monday when results start to come in the afternoon?
We'll be watching to see how many of those absentee ballots are not counted because of the witness signature not being there. Definitely we'll be trying to figure out how many people requested ballots and never got them, and what caused that, why so many people did not get their absentee ballots when they requested them, some again saying they requested them weeks ago. We'll also be just trying to figure out what happened. Was it a mail system overload, a website overload, just kind of what went wrong with people who insist that they were very diligent about requesting that ballots and didn't get them.
Mary, and then results. Mary, thank you for joining us. Sean, thank you as well.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Mary Spicuzza, investigative reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Sean Johnson, Capitol Bureau Chief for WPR. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show. and you're listening to the Ideas Network.